Welcome to the Encouragement for Work podcast with your host, Mark Griffin, founder and owner of In His Name HR. Each week, Mark interviews nationally known thought leaders from corporate America, higher education, churches, and ministries. His goal is to bring you great ideas that help engage your employees, shift your culture toward higher performance, and increase employee loyalty at the organization you lead. Each episode features an idea or process that's made a tremendous impact on employees and employers alike. Now sit back, relax, and listen in as he delivers encouragement today through this episode's special guest.
All right. Well, welcome to Encouragement at Work. I'm Mark Griffin. I'm your host, and I am so excited to be here today. I have my good friend and colleague, Alan Collins. Alan brings to us an incredible amount of HR experience from corporate America, but Alan has also made an incredible impact on human resources, not just to the seasoned professional, but to young HR professionals as well. Alan continues to write many books, he continues to write many blogs, and he continues to encourage people in the field of human resources. So today on Encouragement at Work, we're going to talk about what is the top HR priority today? And we're going to talk about Alan's thought about HR leadership must bring positivity in 2024. But before we get into the topic, I'd like Alan to introduce himself to the audience. So Alan, could you tell the audience a little bit about your background in human resources?
Thank you, Mark. Well, first of all, let me thank you for inviting me on the podcast. I'm delighted to be here to talk about this topic. My background is primarily working with some of the most recognized brands in the world. In fact, Mark, this is where you and I became first acquainted at Quaker Oats.
Of course.
Those brands were Quaker, Gatorade, Tropicana, Pepsi. And I was just absolutely thrilled to spend 25 years of my career with that organization. I was in 16 different HR positions. The last 8 years, I was the vice president of HR, responsible for 8,000, or supporting, I should say, 8,000 employees in U.S., in the U.S. and Canada. We supported about $8 billion in sales, 8,000 employees, both union, non-union, sales, marketing, R&D, you name it. And I'd say that that was one of my career highlights. And in fact, it was a 25-year highlight there, spending it with that organization. And I'd say while spending my time there, the proudest achievement that I had was with my HR team. I'm still in touch with a number of folks that I work with at that time. And Mark, I'm thrilled to say that there are four people who are on my team that are now chief HR officers in other organizations. And I can't tell you how thrilling that is to be able to point to individuals who you've had some minor role in shaping their careers. And again, when you see that they've reached the top role in their organization and you still have a great relationship with them, that is just a tremendously gratifying experience there. And I look back at my 25 years there and I point to, you know, you forget about the projects you work on, the initiatives
you
work
on. Those.
Yeah, you forget about those kinds of things, but you never forget about the great relationships that you build over time. And so I point to those four people and I point, and there are others beyond them that have achieved great things that I just get, you know, I just get absolutely pumped about. So
that's absolutely wonderful, Alan, because I feel the same way. Some of the greatest feelings I've had of encouragement, of excitement was for people that were reporting to me that got promoted and ultimately ended up being executives at different organizations.
Yes.
I mean, you and I both, you probably remember David Copeland.
Absolutely.
He worked for us. He came to me as a graduate out of college from New York, and we coached, we mentored him, and he's a vice president of human resources today. And that's what it's all about, is trying to feed and water the HR people to bring achievement to each organization, high performance. So with that being said, what are your thoughts about currently, you know, what is the top HR priority today? I know we need to bring positivity in 2024. a lot of our listeners, we have such a variety of listeners. We have HR people that are in companies that are $5 million in sales, but we have HR people that are in $5 billion companies. Mm-hmm. But one thing we have in common with all our listeners is they all want to do well, and they all want to bring positivity to the workplace. So we want to try to turn the negativity around from 2023 and be more positive in 2024. So what's your thoughts around that, Alan?
Mark, I think that is a tremendous question. And I'd say from what I've been reading, what I hear, and the contacts that I continue to have with those who are facing HR challenges every day, everyone talks about, and whether or not it's number one on the list or number two on the list, it's rare that it will sink to number three on the list. And that's retaining good people.
Oh, that's great.
It's retention. And I say good people. Good people are in huge, huge demand these days. And it doesn't matter how the economy is or what works, whether or not the economy is good or bad. The need for great people was predominant even during the period of time we were all going through COVID.
Oh, sure.
They were looking for great people who could work at home, even if they couldn't show up. Yeah, they were looking for great people who were able to manage or lead a remote workforce. And so the challenges these days with increased technology, AI, being able to attract people to the workforce that are familiar with the new technologies and AI and where we're going, as organizations and in the marketplace, the indispensable quality is having people who can get things done, who can deliver results, and leaders and managers who can get the best out of those people.
That goes
to your point about creating an encouraging workforce. That's I think one of the keys to unlocking it is how do you create an environment where people are excited and love what they do and they're bringing their best selves to work.
Exactly, Alan. You hit on a lot of really, really good points. In fact, it's interesting that you brought up AI, artificial intelligence, because we're actually going to have an AI expert on the show here in about two more weeks. And Bart has an incredible background in technology. We're also doing an article, we're doing some research right now on how AI can really partner with human resources to make the HR function that much better. How can we use technology to be better as HR people? With those thoughts in mind and retention, you make a great point. We have to create excitement. And I look back at some of the brands that I worked on, we were very easily able to create excitement because when you're working for the Gatorade brand and you have a mission, vision, values that reflects, high achievement, and the values of the Quaker Oats organization. It's all great stuff. Is that what you're trying to articulate? How do we align employees to the mission, vision, values, or do you have other thoughts around it?
Mark, I say that that's certainly a major ingredient that organizations miss, which is being able to get the entire workforce, both the leaders, the managers, the frontline employees, et cetera, aligned to a common direction.
Thank you.
And get everybody on the same song sheet. And I found so many organizations get tied up in trying to define, well, how is a mission different than a vision, different than our values, et cetera? And I've concluded it really doesn't make any difference. As long as you're able to articulate an inspiring direction that the organization is moving in, it probably doesn't matter what you call it, because people will interpret it their own different way and apply it to their jobs in a different way. But as long as they're moving in the same direction, I think that is absolutely key. And the one thing I believe is, aside from the vision, mission, and value that I believe is a missing ingredient, that it's helpful, I believe, to spend a lot more attention with, is, and it's a key to, I believe, to retention and getting the most out of people. I found, Mark, when I go on LinkedIn,
okay,
so many people talk about toxic work environments. And I found that, and it didn't matter what kind of surveys we did, people these days, I think, are just craving attention, recognition, appreciation for the work that they're doing. And there's just not enough of that. In fact, I feel that from what I what I hear and what I read and what and the relationships I have, that people largely in organizations these days are feeling underappreciated, underrewarded, underrecognized.
I'm hearing the same thing. And things have shifted a lot, Alan, in the last 20, 30 years. I remember, you know, at holiday time 30 years ago, giving out turkeys. Employees appreciated that. Turkeys aren't applicable anymore. That's not what people want. They don't desire to have a turkey given to them by management. Times have changed. And I think a lot of organizations haven't done any work to define what it is that the employees are looking for and what could make them happier or more engaged. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd certainly agree with that, Mark. And one of the things that we found very, very helpful is to, and I've yet to find an organization that couldn't benefit from creating just a simple recognition program.
Wonderful.
And yeah, it was one of the things that we created when I was at Pepsi that we didn't need management approval for. We didn't need permission to create. We created what we called an above and beyond recognition program. And once a month, employees were nominated by their manager, and there was a committee that decided it. And it was for those employees that really went, as the name suggests, above and beyond expectations, did more than what was expected. We did a monthly awards luncheon with them. And depending on the site, the management committee would be at every single one of those recognition lunches. And that was important. Whether if we were doing it at a plant, it might be the plant manager, the director, and their direct reports. If we were doing it at a corporate office, it might be an executive VP and their direct reports, but it was designed to recognize those people who went above and beyond expectations. And what was remarkable about it was what was provided wasn't money. Sometimes it was plaque. Sometimes it was a gift card. Sometimes it was one of those acrylic mementos that you put on your desk. Sometimes it was time off with pay, but we varied it every single month. And I can't tell you the excitement that created in the organization, because it did a number of things. That one, it recognized those folks who were, again, going above and beyond and that might be otherwise overlooked. But two, it communicated, you talked about vision, mission, and values. It communicated the values of the organization, because those people who were rewarded were exemplifying the values of the organization. And there's no better way to be able to illustrate that than through specific examples. Sometimes it was an employee that worked overtime or over the weekend to deliver something for a customer. Sometimes it was in sales, a big sale that was made, or signing a big contract that nobody thought they'd be able to deliver, or trying a brand new idea that went above and beyond the call of duty, and being able to have a regular process in place where those ideas were, those initiatives and actions were recognized, I think is oftentimes missing in today's organizations. And it doesn't have to be a big, complex program.
No, it doesn't. The best programs are simplistic.
Exactly.
Let me help our listeners understand. When you started to come up with this plan of recognition, did you put a focus group together? Did you bring employees in to say, hey, you know, what are your likes? What are your dislikes? What type of prizes would fit here? How did you involve the employees? Because oftentimes I've gone into organizations and the management team comes up with a plan and then there's no linkage to the employees. Like I explained earlier in our discussion, in one organization, I know the employees don't want to have turkeys. They're tired of turkeys. They can get turkeys at the grocery store through the relatives or whatever, through different programs and stuff. So tell me a little bit about how to engage the employees in the process.
There were a couple of steps that were involved before that particular initiative, which was a very simple initiative, was rolled out. One, we did an organization or site-wide survey to get all of the employees. And we had something like a 60 or 70% participation rate in that everybody didn't want to participate. But we used a survey to identify what were the biggest areas of opportunity in the organization. And the lack of recognition, the lack of appreciation, the lack of support for what we do was, it came out in so many different ways. Even sometimes it was stated overtly, and sometimes it was implied. And so what we did was, most organizations would stop with the survey part of it, but we did some follow-up. We did some, to your point, some focus groups to find out, to get a little bit better insight into what could we do that would begin to address some of these issues here. And particularly, it, as we're talking about specifically, you know, the lack of recognition, lack of rewards, and we got an earful. And again, some employees talked about more money. And in some cases, we weren't, that was something that we just couldn't affect, especially in some of our unionized locations, we weren't able to impact that. In some of our office or other locations, we could, but only once a year. So we got that. We got specific suggestions from them. And then we put a committee together, and that committee really helped us manage the program.
That's wonderful, Alan. Yeah. That is wonderful. You brought some really, really great ideas today to us, and I really appreciate your input. What I'd like to do is review a little bit about what we talked about. And most importantly, you want to focus on retention within the organization, because as we know, turnover can cost organizations quite a bit of money. So we need to focus on retention, looking at the toxic aspects of the work environment, but then most importantly, pull employees in to do a recognition program by getting their input on it so that you can move forward to have a program that's applicable to them and meaningful to them so that they can make an impact. So we have about a minute left in our discussion. What else would you like to add to give some encouragement to the listeners today?
I would say, take that on yourself. If you're a leader or manager and you have a team that reports to you, certainly you have an opportunity to step up your own recognition, appreciation, and support for your team. And as one of the things that I would encourage them to do, if you're a leader or manager, when you wake up every morning, think about who in your organization is underrecognized, who's underappreciated, and what can you do that day, even if nothing more than stopping by and asking how they're doing, what's going on, or setting up a one-on-one meeting to talk to them about their career. It can be little small things if you're a leader or manager. If you don't have people that report to you, there's nothing that wrong with you doing the same thing. You may not be. Why not check in on your colleagues to find out how they're doing? Don't become part of the toxicity that's going on in today's organization.
Exactly. So always
position,
always check in. Yeah, and always check in on your people. Your people are your most valuable resource.
Absolutely.
In any organization. And I remember back in our Quaker Oats and Gatorade days, there was a wise man that told me, always hire somebody that's smarter than you.
Yes.
And you're going to be successful. And that's true. Alan, you've been an amazing guest on our show. We'll have to have you come back in a couple months. I want to wish you and your family a very blessed and joyful holiday season. And we hope to have you back next year.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
This episode of Encouragement for Work has been brought to you by Job Shepherd. Post-COVID-19 recruitment has been unquestionably hard for employers, with many struggling to find quality employees in the aftermath. Religious-exempt employers have had an especially difficult time. Welcome to Job Shepherd, a platform that will change all of this for you. Job Shepherd was created to meet the demand by Christian employers, including ministries, camps, churches, colleges, and Christian for-profit companies in their search for qualified job candidates. Now, for a limited time only, employers post a job for free. Job seekers, come join us. You are always free. Learn more at www.jobshepherd.com.